fun stuff. Naps are not keeping you sleeping in or anything this morning. So I had a little debate earlier this week. Kat did a little a poll in the women's ministry. I was kind of shocked to see that so many people, especially the women in the church, prefer Thanksgiving over Christmas. Is that still true? Do you guys who here is on team Thanksgiving and who here is on team Christmas? We'll go Thanksgiving first. That many people, you guys think Thanksgiving is that much better than Christmas? Okay, how many people's on team Christmas? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. And how many of you have your Christmas decor already up in your house? You've already got your tree. Oh my gosh. Okay, I have to admit, I made fun of Kat a lot this past week because we got our Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving. I thought that was wrong on like every level possible, and evidently she was right. We got there and like half the trees were gone. So I got to give you some major props for that. So anyway, I'm kind of on team Christmas myself. I love that a whole lot. Honestly, I love the Advent season. And in the Bible church, we don't really, I don't know that we always recognize the Advent season as well as we possibly could and stuff, but this is a beautiful season. Advent, if you're new to the whole church thing, it just literally means anticipation of a significant person coming or something like that. It's just the anticipation, the arrival of a significant person that's coming. And that's what this whole season of Advent is marked by. You want to think about, when you're thinking about Advent, you want to think about those videos that you see that you can't help but click on every single time in your inbox, you know, where the soldier comes home and they're home from a long time. They've been serving our country faithfully overseas for a long time, and they come back and they surprise their family. Don't act like you guys don't click on these things that just cry every single time. You're like, I know what's coming. I know how this story works out, and every single time I'm still going to be crying at the end of it and stuff like that. But that's kind of it, you know. It's the arrival of a significant person or thing, and they're coming in, and that's what we are doing in this Advent season. It's all the hope, it's all the joy, it's all the anticipation, all of the encouragement of remembering what it was like, not necessarily only for Israel when their Messiah came nearly 2,000 years ago, but remembering what it was like even for us when Jesus, in his infinite love, saw fit to condescend from heaven and to take on flesh and to enter into this broken world so that he might live the life that we could not live and die the death that we were supposed to die. I love what we've been reading in Hebrews quite a bit. I love how Hebrews chapter 2, we talked about this very early on in our series. Here's what it says. Here's why Jesus had to come and take on flesh. He says in chapter 2, verse 14, he says, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. That's what he came to do. He came in here to break the fear of death and to free you from the slavery that we live in, which is brought on by that fear of death. For this reason, he had to be made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. That church, that's exactly what we've been talking about in this whole Hebrews series, is that when Jesus came and he took on flesh, he didn't just come and live as a great moral teacher. He came to fulfill a whole lot of things that needed to be done so that you and I might have access to a living and thriving dynamic relationship with the living God. He came as the perfect high priest, one according to the order of Melchizedek, who is fully priest and fully king. He came and brought in rule, but he also came to intercede on our behalf that we may be made right in relationship with God. That's who he came, and that's how he did it. That he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Meaning, so that not just you and I might know what forgiveness looks like, so that we might not just have a good example of what it looks like, that he might make atonement, meaning that we may be made right before a holy and living God, so that we don't need to come and we don't need to run from him in shame anymore, so that we don't have to go in hiding, so that we don't have to live in depression because we're recognizing how fallen and far away from we are from a holy God. He came and he made atonement for you and I, that we may be made clean, so that we may approach the throne room of God in fullness of confidence and joy. And then he says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Guys, that is the church, that is the God that we are remembering this Advent season, and that is everything that he's come to accomplish nearly 2,000 years ago when he saw fit to love us fully and perfectly in the coming of Jesus. But it's not just about, the season is not just about coming and remembering what he did at some time in the past. It's a season about where we're remembering that he's not quite done yet. And some of you guys need to hold on to that hope this morning because you're painfully aware of the reality that things are not as they should be yet, right? For some of you, this holiday season just evokes a whole lot of emotions and a whole lot of pain. a whole lot of disappointment and sadness. It just brings up a whole lot of emotions and a lot of remembering the fact that things are not as they fully should be yet. But in this Advent season, we are remembering that Jesus is not fully done yet. He is coming back again to bring in his perfect rule and to bring in his perfect reign. And when that happens, Revelation describes it as a time that'll be characterized by no more suffering and no more tears, no more pain, no more trials, and no more tribulations. This is a time when Jesus is going to come back and he's going to rule on earth with all of those who have trusted him in faith to receive his grace. And his perfect rule will be here on earth, and we'll be able to live there with him. And there will be no more suffering, no more trial, no more pain. The old things will pass away. Behold, new things will be fully ushered in. And this Advent season, we get to remember what Christ inaugurated at his first coming and what he is still coming to do here in the future, and then what he is doing right now in the present by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we recognize that remembering is not always the easiest thing to do. And so we do this every single year, and we just take time to remember what Jesus is doing on our behalf. This morning, we have the privilege of doing something a little bit different in our service. And I thought that, you know, I don't know how it is for you guys, what your traditions may be. On Thanksgiving, on Thursday, what we do as a family, we'll sit there and we'll have a dinner together, and we'll go around and we'll just talk about something that's happened this past year that you're most thankful for. And I thought, you know what, I would love to be able to hear from the church, and I'd love to be able to open it up and to see, church, what are we thankful for? And I'd love to be able to share some of the stories of what God has been doing in the life here of Dallas Bible Church. One of the privileges we have here as one of the pastors, we get to hear a lot of the personal stories. We get to walk with people through very difficult times and see how Jesus comes in and brings his hope and brings his redemption to so many people. And so this morning, what we want to do is we want to celebrate some of those stories, and a few of us, a lot of people have reached out and said, we want to share our stories. We won't have time for all of those, but we're going to highlight three of them this morning and give you an opportunity just to hear some stories of people and faces that you see every single week of what God is doing in their life. So before I call up Elizabeth Marcy here in just a moment, I want to pray over our service. I ask that it would be worshipful, and just ask that one of the beauties of doing a time of testimonies is that some of you need to hear a story. You need to put a real face to what God is doing in someone's life more so than a sermon. And it's good to come back and to just put some stories to these faces and to be able to remember that Jesus is active, that his Holy Spirit is bringing about freedom today. And I'm confident that some of you are going to be right in the middle of this of where some of these stories are, and God is going to use some of these. So would you guys just please bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. God, this Advent season, we don't want to forget what you have brought on, what you've come to do in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what you're still coming to do in the promise of the second coming, this day when you're going to set up your rule and your kingdom, this day that's going to be characterized by no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain, everything that you created this world to be, everything you created us to be, God, will be made known, it'll be full, and it will be complete. God, we look forward to that day. And Lord, as we look forward to that day, we invite that day to come right now. You invite us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, would you bring your kingdom now? By the power of your Holy Spirit, would you bring your rule right now? Would you come in and bring freedom to someone right now? Would you bring healing to someone right now? Would you just bring the assurance of your presence to someone right now who can't see you, who can't feel you, who is questioning your goodness, who is just in the middle of incredible pain and they can't understand your wisdom or what you may be doing in your infinite sovereignty. God, I pray that you would just let your presence be made known to them right now. God, as stories are shared, let our speaking today be a demonstration of your Spirit and your power, that our faith may not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the very power of God. We invite you this morning. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. This first story that I get to introduce you guys to is Elizabeth Marcy, and you guys get to see Elizabeth leading us every single week in worship. She's back there on the piano, and one of the things I love about Elizabeth worshiping that I very quickly got to know when I started here a little over a year ago was that Elizabeth is one of these rare worship leaders that's able to play the piano while lifting her hands and worship like constantly. It's amazing. I'm like, I don't know how those keys are going on right now, but somehow she is worshiping Jesus, and she is just fully engaged in the moment of worshiping God as she plays, and she wears her heart upon her sleeve, and she has an incredible story of what God has done in her life. So would you guys please help me in welcoming Elizabeth Marcy this morning? You can take that one, Elizabeth, and have a seat, and you can get comfortable, and I'm not going to talk very much from here on out, but I just want to invite you to just share a little bit of what God has put on your heart and what he's been doing in your life over the past few years.
Great. Thank you. Good morning. I'm singing bass this morning, talking bass this morning. I first of all just wanted to say that we are so happy to be here at DBC. We've been here for a little over 10 years. And to say it's our joy to be here would be an understatement, because y'all have been our family this past 10 years. You have walked with us through happy times and sad times. And like Aaron shared last week, there's no greater blessing than to be part of the body of Christ. And we know that because y'all have been that reflection of God's faithfulness in our lives. When Kristen asked me to share this morning, I was thinking about God's faithfulness in my life. And the first thing that came to my mind was our journey with infertility. It's not really a superstar Christian story of our faith. If anything, it's a story of our failure in our faith and our how we didn't respond in a way that I wish we would have. It was a story of heartbreak and questioning of God, and yet it really highlights God's faithfulness, because it shows that God's love for us is not dependent on anything we could do. He is just holding us, and it's his finished work on the cross that holds us so tightly. It's not dependent on us. My husband and I, when we were married about 7 years, we decided we would try to get pregnant, and we were able to get pregnant quickly. But that first pregnancy we lost, it was a tubal pregnancy. I had a ruptured tube. It was sad, but I just felt hopeful. Like, we can get pregnant. God has a plan for us. And I was excited, even though we were grieving that loss. Our doctor said, just keep trying. There's nothing wrong with you. Just keep trying. And so we tried again, and we got pregnant again. And within the course of 11 months, we ended up having 4 pregnancy losses. During that year, I feel like I responded in a way that I would want to have responded. I just felt like God loves us. He's faithful. He allows difficult things to happen for our good and his glory. And I was just able to hold on to that. But that 4th pregnancy loss, it happened at Christmas time, and I was home in Wisconsin and away from Tim, and it was traumatic. It was traumatizing for me, and it just, y'all know this feeling of suffering. It's like sticking your head in the water and just holding it there, and you can't breathe, and that's how it felt. I went into this time of deep grieving. I couldn't eat. More than anything, I just hated how I felt like I was losing my faith. I have played the piano here for 10 years, and I remember playing the piano and looking at the words up on that screen and thinking, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe God's faithful. I don't believe he loves me. I can't believe it anymore. During that time, I think about David, who is a man after God's own heart. And yet, David said so many times, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Where are you, God? And I felt like, okay, God knows where I'm at. I just need to be real with him. And it's okay that I am an absolute mess right now. Just to let myself be in a really bad, sad, dark place. It's okay. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change his love and his faithfulness and his goodness. Then the other thing I thought of during that time was Jesus' response when Lazarus died. And it's such a mystery to me. You know, Jesus knows everything. He, you know, I compare Lazarus's death to my infertility and how Jesus could have stopped it. He could have healed him right away. He didn't have to. And yet Jesus allowed Lazarus to die knowing he was going to heal him, and he wept. And something about that just made me feel like Jesus is weeping with me. He's perfect. He knows that he brings joy in the morning after suffering, that he brings beauty for ashes, but he's weeping with me during this time, just like he wept with his friends when Lazarus died, knowing he was going to heal him. After that year, God provided an incredible infertility specialist for our family and provided the finances for us to try and get pregnant again. And God, in his mercy, allowed us to get pregnant. So thankful and just so at peace knowing that this one was going to be okay. When I was 12 weeks pregnant, I was playing the piano up here. So many stories seem to revolve around that. And I remember just like feeling really bad. Like my heart was racing and I was drenched in sweat. And I just thought, something's wrong. And so I said to Tim, we need to go home. I probably just need to sleep. I'm probably just morning sickness, but we need to go home. So as we were going home, I was getting sick on the way home, but I thought, I just need to go to bed. Don't overreact. I'm just tired. So we got to the apartment. We lived 20 minutes from DBC at the time, and I had left my purse here. And so I said to Tim, why don't you go back and get it? I'll just rest. Like many people our age, we did not have a landline. We just had cell phones. So Tim took his cell phone with him and came to get my purse that had my phone in it, thinking everything was fine. Well, no sooner had he left than I began to just pass out. Like every time I would lift my head, I would pass out again. And I just couldn't. The only way I could stay conscious was to lie down. And, Tim was gone probably about, he's super social, and he was gone probably like 60, 90 minutes. And he finally came back and found me there, and we called the ambulance. Long story short, they took me to the hospital and found out that I had a ruptured abdominal artery and I lost over half of my blood supply. I had to do a transfusion. And the doctor, Dr. Angel, said to Tim as they were taking me back, I'm going to try and save the baby's life, but of course I'm going to try and save your wife's life first. Well, I'm here, and God has a plan for me and my daughter, Flora Kate, who is 4 years old now. And, you know, if that wasn't enough, like, we just felt grateful for children in a way that we had never felt before. I said to Tim, we don't need any more children. I'm just so thankful. I just praise Jesus. We have this baby. I'm just incredibly thankful. And in God's mercy and surprises, he allowed us to get pregnant again with Bennett, who's a year old now. And the name Bennett is from benediction, which means blessing. And I just look at it like, God, he doesn't owe us anything, and yet he allowed us to have not just one, but two blessings. Amen. And I feel so thankful.
Amen. So Elizabeth, we tell us just a little bit about what is Thanksgiving season and Christmas season like for you in the middle of that, in the middle of what you're going through?
It was terrible. I wish I could tell you that it was like, it was just bad. It was really rough. And I think it's important for you to know that because the holidays can be really hard for when you're suffering and having loss. We have had many beautiful holidays as a family, but that season was just really dark and still and a lot of grieving.
So what would you say to someone who may be in the middle of that going on right now?
You know, in hindsight, I really feel like God brought it all together for me when my daughter Flora Kate was getting vaccinated. You know how it is. They're little babies, and the mom's job is to hold their arms down. I mean, gosh. And I'll never forget, as a little baby, She's screaming her head off, and they're giving her these shots, and I felt like she was looking at me like, why are you allowing this to happen to me? And it was like right away, God stepped right in and said, Elizabeth, your suffering was like those vaccinations. I can't tell you right now why I've allowed it, but it's for your life-saving good. It's for a purpose. I love you so much. I'm allowing this pain to happen in your life. And as a parent, you know, we can see that with our children. We can see the pain they go through, and our heart is with them. And that is God's heart for us, like times a million. He is hurting with us, and yet he has a plan. So I would just say, joy comes in the morning, and be real with God. It's okay. He can handle it. He already knows where you're at and what you're feeling. And he brings beauty for ashes.
That's good. Is there something that you're holding on to today? You know, as you're kind of coming through this season and stuff, is there a passage or a verse that you'd love to share with the church, or anything that's kind of particularly meaningful for you right now?
I think Psalm 63:3, it says, because the loving kindness of the Lord is better than life, my lips will praise him. Yeah. And I mean, through all the pain and everything, his loving kindness is better than this life. I have experienced it. I have tasted it. And I want my lips to praise him.
Amen. Will you guys help me in thanking Elizabeth this morning? Thank you. Love that story. I feel like you don't hear those stories a whole lot during Thanksgiving or Christmas season, but did you guys know that the church it's a good place to be honest in? It's okay to be honest, right? I love that you said that God knows exactly where you are. It doesn't help to put on a facade or to pretend that things are anything different than where they are. He's big and he's glorious and he's over these things. And I love the imagery there. I think we've experienced it to a lot of different degrees of kind of sitting there with the kid getting vaccinations going, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't see the good in this. But that's a good reminder for us. So thank you for sharing your story. Appreciate it. This next one we want to bring up. Brian, I'm going to let you introduce it and take over from here. This is going to be Kevin Omar, and I'll let Brian introduce him to you.
Elizabeth, thank you for your story. Thank you for your vulnerability. What a good word of encouragement, especially just sorry for me going through my first holiday without a dad. So I appreciate that. Kevin, come on, man, before I fall off this stage. Let me introduce my friend Kevin Omar. Hey, buddy. How are you? I'm gonna let you hold on to that. Have a seat. I first met Kevin. Gosh, man, it's been a year or so ago. I see this big, strapping, good-looking guy come walking into our church, and I'm like, "Wow, I need to rub shoulders with that guy." Plus, he's tall, and I thought I could get him on my basketball team a few times around here, and we did. We played some ball together, but. Kevin has been in our church now for a year or so, and Kevin, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story, where you're from, how you ended up here in Dallas, Texas, and tell us a little bit about just your faith journey, how you came to meet Jesus and what that was like.
Right. So I'm from Ghana, West Africa. I was raised by a single mom. Growing up, I was raised by the kind of mother that on a typical Sunday, the only thing that would stop us from going to church was probably the rapture.
That would really be some church then.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom had tremendous faith, but it was always my mother's faith. And at 16, I lost my only brother in a car accident, and I felt God had turned his back on us, and so I decided to do same, and I lost my way and fell into bad company and started doing things that I had no business doing and moving with people that I had no business moving with. And it went on for about 2 years. And this was when I was in boarding school, during high school. So after high school, when all the people that I had surrounded myself with were gone and the things that I had been running to were no longer available, and I was there depressed, sad, with no one to turn to, I had a friend who, when I was in high school, would always visit with me because he knew me for a while, and he would speak to me. He gave me a book, Seven Great Principles, and I put it in my bookshelf, never read it. It was about God. And so whenever I was depressed and just down in the darkness, I picked up the book and I read it, and my eye was open to the amazing hope that we have in Jesus and the gift that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. And I was blown away, so I picked up the phone and I called my friend and I was like, you know what, I want to give my life to Christ. So at 18, I finally decided to give my life to Christ. Funny enough, that was the first time I met my dad. And that's how I came to the United States. I came to the United States to build a relationship with my dad because he was never around growing up. And so that was how I came to Dallas, Texas. And God has been faithful all these years since I gave my life to him. It's been up and down, but he has been constant, mm-hmm. and he's been faithful to me.
That's great. So growing up, it was just you and your mom and your brother for a while. During that time of, let's just call it maybe a rebellious stage there between 16 and 18, how was your relationship with your mom during that time? Was she still, you know, getting you up on Sundays, taking you to church and doing those things? Did that suffer at all?
It did. During that time, I was in boarding school. So in Ghana, we go away to boarding schools for most of the year, and we live there. So you're really by yourself, and you do whatever you want. Granted, you're breaking the rules, but you're doing whatever you want. And so whenever I would come home, yes, we would always go to church, but I wasn't present. I was in the service, but I wasn't present. And it did affect my relationship with my mom. I was a horrible son during that time, and for all that my mom had been through, looking back, I can't believe what I made her go through, having suffered the loss of a son, which no mother should. The relationship suffered, but after I gave my life to Christ, I went back on my knees to my mom, and I apologized and asked her forgiveness for all that I had, all the pain that I had inflicted on her during those years. And God healed the relationship, and she's the rock of my life. Yeah,
that's awesome. And now your mom is still in Ghana, correct? And your dad is here. So
yes.
Tell us a little bit, Kevin, about how you ended up here at Dallas Bible. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I went to UTD, and I was going back to UTD. This was after I had graduated. I was going back to UTD to play ball with some friends, and they were running late. So I put a book in my gym bag, which I never do, and I sat outside the rec center to read the book while I was waiting for my friends. And this redhead guy named Warren Truesdell walks up to me with his wife and asks me if there's something they can pray with me about. And I was like, fine, yeah. And so we started talking about the gospel and the word of God. And it was a great conversation, and we became friends. And we started talking after that, and he invited me to DVC, and this was during a time when I was looking for a church home. This was a time because I wasn't plugged in, I wasn't being faithful, and so I came to DVC, and immediately I felt like this was where God would have me be. And so after the first time I came here, I was like, I'm going to join DVC, and it's been really amazing how God has worked with the people here, yourself, Clint Illert, Warren and his wife, Sam and Monica Tubb, Jack and Linda Cole. I mean, amazing people all around who have come alongside me and helping me do life. Even Clint was really instrumental in helping me mend a relationship with my dad, because my dad and I had a very fractured relationship, and he came alongside me and he counseled me and he mentored me. And today my dad and I have a good relationship because of Clint and because of coming to DBC.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Is Warren and Shelby here? I haven't seen them. Yeah. Oh, they're down in okay, they're down in San Antonio. You know their schedule better than I do. That's awesome. If someone is sitting out there today contemplating, man, this seems like a good place, this place called Dallas Bible Church, what would you say to them if they're kind of on the fence, wondering, do we stick this thing out? Do we continue checking this place out? What would you say to them? I think I know, but I think you've already said it. What would you say?
What I would say to you is, if you're looking for a church family that would love you, come alongside you, to encourage you, just do life with you, this is the place to be. I have met amazing people. I cannot really express my gratitude at that. And I also happened to meet my girlfriend at DVC. So, hey, it's an amazing place to be.
Oh, Kevin, love you, man. Appreciate you sharing. Would y'all just give your appreciation for Kevin? It's awesome. I'm going to add a little bit to that story before I introduce our next guest. We do a deal here every month called Fourth Sunday Evangelism. And it happened to be on a fourth Sunday that Warren and Shelby joined the crew after our worship service. We go out into the community and we just engage the community in a very simple way, like Kevin just explained. Hey, is there something I can pray for you about? And look at what that led to. Here's a guy now who is invested here at Dallas Bible. He's serving faithfully, loves the Lord, is growing and maturing in his faith because of a couple's obedience and faithfulness to go out and engage the community through our fourth Sunday evangelism ministry. I love that. And I'm so thankful for Warren and Shelby engaging with you that day at UTD. You know, that's a significant part of who we are. We want to engage the community. We want to show this community that we love it. That's why we invest in the local schools here through Kids Beach Club. That's why we do Circle One, investing in the lives of kids in the apartment complexes around. That's why we're in full-on engaged and invested with Revive Texas that's coming up in 2017, starting on April and going through Pentecost. And so we are praying that God would show up in a supernatural way and move as only he can move in the city of Dallas, and that would not be contained to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but that it would just overflow into other cities in Texas, and that it would overflow across the borders into other states, and that we would just see a supernatural movement of God that would happen through Revive Texas. And it's a great honor and privilege for me to introduce Kyle Martin. Kyle, why don't you come on up? Kyle's been a long time member here at Dallas Bible Church and with his family. Kyle is the founder and CEO and president or just something of Time to Revive. And what I love about Kyle is his faithfulness and his obedience to Jesus. This guy has modeled for me more in my short time of knowing him what it means to listen well to how the Spirit leads and respond to that. And that's evident in his life. And so we've invited him to come and share just some stories about what's going on in Revive Ohio, which is where the ministry has been, and then what we're looking forward to coming up in Revive Texas. So, Kyle, good to see you, man. Welcome home. And here, why don't you take that? Amen. And I'm going to step off the stage and give it to you, okay?
Amen.
Is that all right?
Thanks. You know, I'm a firm believer that the way we grow in the Lord is sometimes, in Scripture in John 4, it says, because of the testimonies of others. And praise the Lord for your faithfulness. We need to hear these type of things, because what's happened in the church in America today is we've become less authentic and transparent. We need to see that Jesus does change lives. And in the church, we're not perfect. He is, and he's the one that can get us through this life. And so, you know, for me, as I've been going through this life for 14 years here at DBC with my wife, Laura, and our four kids, you know, it's been quite a process. And to think here we would be 9 years later into the ministry, and now I'm in a state of Ohio where I've been there since August, pretty much. I promise you, I never would have thought that I'm still going to be in Ohio. I feel like I come home to get refreshed here, and then they just keep sending me back out. And so I want to show some pictures here. In August, there's a picture of my little family. This is us on the side of the road, things you probably shouldn't do, but everybody does it. And we are on our way to a community called Dark County, D-A-R-K-E, Dark County. It truly is. It was a dark place, home of heroin, Dayton stuff, ships down heroin and crack down there. But, man, we do this as a family as much as we can. Here's the reality. Doing ministry is really hard. My kids, I have three kids that are in public schools at Arapahoe, Classic, Old Magnet, ACM. And, man, I travel all the time. But when we can, Laura and the crew come with us. So we went to Dark County. And when we went to Dark County, let's go to the next one. Here is Revive Ohio slide, but let's go to the next one if you can. If you can see up there, this is one of the only counties in the United States. I don't know if I can prove this, but this is their tagline. Dark County's on the left. Dark County is surrounded by nine counties. That we know of, there's not any other county in the United States that's surrounded by nine counties. You know what that means? It means that they can have a huge impact with the gospel. And so that's what's happened is that just keep in mind there's Dark, there's Greenville. If you go to the next picture, a couple things happened. One of the first things was is that whenever we go to a community, we only go for a certain amount of time until the Lord leads us differently. We went for 7 days. We ended up staying for 21 days. In one of those time frames is we went to a practice of Greenville High School football team. This is half of the team, but this is half of the team. And this group right here is 35 guys, and they said yes to the Lord. We went at 8:30 at night on practice. They waited for us so that we could pray and share the gospel. The dude on the right in the cutoff gray, he's the quarterback, Kyle. He's really led the charge there. But because of this, we went into 33 teams. If you would, keep going to the next slide. This is a special one. This is kind of like meeting Kevin out on the road. Sorry, Kevin. But this is the reality. This is Rachel on the left. Rachel has been in and out of the system, major heroin addict, sitting on the curb. I'm at a restaurant, and a lady says, "You see that lady over there? She's trouble." You know what that means to me, right? Thank you very much for the introduction. And so I went over and I met Rachel. And what happened is this is the most incredible story maybe I've seen in my life, to be honest. In scriptures, you know when you hear about the stories of all of their family got baptized? Because one lady, Rachel, said yes. Then it led to her niece. Then it led to her daughter. Then it led to her dad. It led to about 15 to 20 individuals, and they ended up all getting baptized. I'm telling you, all it takes is our church, us, Dallas Bible Church, saying, "How can I pray for you guys?" That's it. You don't have to be this crazy trained evangelist. You just go love on people. Love on them in such a way that they're drawn to the love of Christ. And it starts by praying with people. And this is what happened here in Dark County. Well, then Dark County, after that, we started getting invited all over Ohio. So we went to the next county. We went to Auglaize. Here's a dude, if any of you came to this banquet the last week and a half for Time to Revive, the guy on the right, his family owns 8 McDonald's. Okay? That's a guy you want to hang out with. Okay? He said, "Would you come and pray in 3 of our McDonald's?" This is an employee, Elizabeth, Courtney. His wife is Elizabeth. Courtney came to know the Lord on shift at McDonald's. Okay? Her boyfriend's in jail. She's got some kids. She's now being discipled by his wife, Elizabeth, and she just announced this last week, because it's important to us that the Kevins grow. Once you say yes to the Lord, once you're encountered with them, you got to start discipling them. The church needs to get messy. And the reason Ohio is starting to see a move of God is because they're willing to leave their box. And so what's happened is that she's going to get baptized in 2 weeks. God's using this McDonald's family to impact right where they're at. So we're not saying you have to change your environment. If you would keep going in Auglaize County, this is a crazy one. So I started getting invited into schools left and right. This is a public junior high and high school. Okay, I went in and I got to present the gospel in the middle of their day. You guys, that would be like me going to Richardson High School. You have to start believing, though, that God wants to do that today. Somebody, amen. Man, I preached at an all-black church in Dayton. If you want to feel good, you preach in an all-black church in the inner city. Somebody will give you feedback. I'm telling you. Like, when you hear God's moving, man, you should get excited. I'm telling you what. I presented the gospel. This is the craziest thing. 60-some kids came to know the Lord. In the middle of the day, and all we're doing is presenting the gospel. Now, I'll come back to this in a little bit. Keep going if you would. After Auglaize, then we went to Dayton. Dayton is in, I got to sit down or I'll start preaching. We went to inner city Dayton, the next community. As we went to Dayton, I got to tell you, it was really hard. Dayton is huge, 700,000 plus people, a lot of racism stuff, black and white stuff. They don't want to mix. I mean, this is the reality. I came across this family standing outside their house staring at each other. I've never seen anything like this. I walked them. I said, what is going on, you guys? They said, our son, the guy on the left, Dwayne, he said, just this weekend, my son killed himself in this house. He said, we don't want to go in the house, and we don't know what to do. God will use any of us, anytime, anywhere, any place. And these three on the left, they said yes to the Lord. And then you know what we got to do? We got to pray a prayer of cleansing, a prayer of healing over that house so that they felt released to go into this house, at this house of death. All we did was ask them, how can I pray for you? You want to know the craziest thing? The guy that on the left, he's getting discipled by a guy who his wife committed suicide after 35 years into their marriage. So he knows what it's like to disciple somebody because he needs help. All over Ohio, we've been asked over and over and over to come. I feel like my home is in Ohio because God's moving in a really special way. Keep going. This is still in Dayton. This is my wife, Laura. God can move in coffee shops. This is a lady that she met named Jody. She works at a museum in downtown Dayton. All we did is we went in for a cup of coffee and hot chocolate. We asked her how we can pray. The next thing you know, my wife leads this lady to the Lord, and Jody is being discipled today. You can do this in Starbucks, you guys. You can do this in your environment. My point is that we want to train you that this is a lifestyle. This cannot just be a Sunday morning deal. So after Dayton, we kept going. This is kind of a crazy one. We went to Miami County. This is where I just was a week and a half ago. Just literally got back. This is a softball team. That's the guy on the right, Coach Mark on the right. He decided he wanted to continue to expose his team to the gospel. So he sent out an email, voluntary. Hey, does anybody want to come be a part of Revive Ohio? So their softball team is sitting in the back row. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would not let me up. The Holy Spirit just said, call them up on the stage. I don't have a clue where any of them are at spiritually. He says, call them up. I'm like, ah. I said, come on up, guys. I don't know if they're freaking out, if they're nervous. I don't know. They come on up. I have them go through, and you guys have seen this on the four Sundays. We use these wristbands in the Bibles. They're not the only way. They're just a tool. They're a means to help deliver the gospel. And on the stage, in front of everybody and live radio, two young ladies came to know the Lord. This is like a week and a half ago, just because a coach said, you know, I want to expose them to the gospel. That's what happens when you're bold in your faith. If you would keep going. Do you guys remember when I said there were 66 kids that came to know the Lord at the FCA in this Auglaize, in this public school, St. Mary's? Well, I also presented it to some high school kids, and there was two of them that didn't say yes. And I know that because I met them in the juvenile detention center last week in Miami County. I went to four counties so far in Ohio, and I walked in, and these two girls, Kelsey looks at me, and she goes, I know you, and I go, I haven't been here before. And she says, no, I heard the gospel presented in school before I got in trouble, and now I'm here. Here she is in a blue uniform, and she says, I'm ready to say yes today. Sometimes when you deliver the message, you're not always going to say yes, but your job is to deliver the good news. Let God work on the timing. And so here you have, look, you have Miranda and Kelsey. I had them come up in the middle of the juvenile detention center. You guys, they're in jail. And they came up, and they wrote their names because we drew out the gospel on the board, and they said yes to the Lord. God's timing is way better than ours. And then the last story is this. This is a young girl. Her name is Cammie. This is last week, you guys. This is real time and how the Lord works. I presented the gospel and nobody said yes to the Lord. That's really disheartening sometimes. But by the end of the service, somebody came up, this pastor, he said, I've been pastoring here in Piqua for a long time. And he said, there's a young girl, her name is Cammie. She's been dealing with homosexuality for 5 years. She's a 16-year-old. She decided to put her trust in Christ. So here you have a 16-year-old saying, I recognize my lifestyle. I'm giving it all up. And you know what's crazy? 2 days later, she decided to skip school. She got permission from her mom. Her mom called in. She didn't go to work. And the three of us went and shared the gospel with her brother. We met him out at work doing landscaping. And we said, you know, join us at a Wendy's. So she got to share how she left her lifestyle and embraced Christ. And her brother said yes to the Lord. 2 nights later, she gets baptized in a service. She brings her best friend. And her best friend at the end of the service comes and says yes to the Lord. God is in the business of doing some real things. And you know who he wants to use? Us. Us. It's not some crazy person out on a stadium. It's everyday people who want to share the gospel. And my prayer is that we would begin to embrace this and believe this, that God wants to do a move of God. He wants to do something special in America. Can somebody agree to that? What if he actually wants to use Dallas Bible Church? I actually think he wants to. I'm going in 2 weeks to Mercer County, my fifth community. We're starting to have to say no right now because of timing. And on the first Monday when I get there, there's a high school team and a junior high team, and they're waiting. 80 to 90 wrestlers are waiting for me to pray and share the gospel. It's already being lined up. And I close with this picture here of, it's a quote by Bill Johnson, the guy out of California. And I want us to start thinking like this for Dallas Bible. Trust will take us beyond understanding into the realm that only faith can discover. When you start walking it out in faith, you'll begin to trust him. When you can't explain it, it's probably of God. My life was not supposed to be in Ohio this year, but I've been there since August, and I can't wait to get back. And all of this is a plant for this next picture up here that you have, Revive Texas. From Easter to Pentecost, next year. So far, 130 congregations have already jumped on board. You guys, this city is going to get rocked. When Gateway and Oak Cliff and Concord and Dallas Bible and White Rock and Nema, the church just down the street, when these congregations fellowship, when Christ, there's too many to list. Just know this, we need you guys to get prepared, because I believe that God wants to use every single one of us. And I am so thankful that the leadership at DBC is jumping in. Because I'm telling you, God's using this year to get ready for next. And he wants to use us. And I just thank you for walking in this journey. Thanks for joining us in this process. It is not easy. It's hard. But I tell you, we can do this together. And as David comes on up, I'd love to pray for them, if that's okay. And, you know, my wife does this when she teaches the kids in this room. And she asks them to hold out their hands when we pray. Okay, this isn't anything weird. I just think you're putting yourself in a position at times just to receive what the Lord wants to do. Is that okay? If you guys are comfortable, would you just hold out your hands as I just pray for this congregation? And just thanks for getting baptized. Way to set the example today, man. So, Father, I just pray for this congregation. And, Jesus, I'm asking that you begin to stir in our hearts in such a way, whether it's through Elizabeth or Kevin or the Ohio testimonies. God, would you allow us to start believing that you want to speak to us today? That you want to use us today here at Dallas Bible Church. And so, Father, would you begin to stir in our hearts a spirit of humility, a spirit of unity, and, God, a desire to hunger for more. When we desire that hunger, I believe we'll see you in a new and refreshing way. So God, touch us today in a way that we experience the living Messiah like we've never experienced him before. And God, may we not leave this place today without knowing you. And if there's somebody here that has not embraced Jesus, it is never too late. Jesus, awaken us to who we are in you. And as a result, Lord, you get the glory. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for this place. May we continue to stay in tune with you each and every day. In your name, amen.
Let's all stand.